Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to The Inner Life for a Friday. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond. Glad to have you with us here today as we're at the end of the week, but always time to talk about our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and glad to have you here as we dive into our spiritual life. That's what this hour is all about, being able to look at something in our lives and how we can grow closer to Christ. This is our program on Relevant Radio about spiritual direction. Today, as we begin the program, let me ask you, are you a fan of all those different superhero movies that have come out over the last several years? Or are you maybe in the camp that thinks they're really not good, they're just absolutely awful? Or maybe you're indifferent to them. If you do enjoy them, are you more of a fan of the Marvel movies, or are you one of those people hoping that DC is going to be able to get their act together and put out some better movies in the future? Now, most of my kids, they enjoy watching all the different superhero movies. You know, they're not maybe as critical as some of us can be as we get older. For me, some of those movies, they are good. Others, just okay, somewhere in the middle, and others should never have been made. But, you know, in all of those different superhero movies, at least almost all of them, and most typically in the origin story movies, where the superhero becomes the superhero, there's normally a moment when the superhero reveals their identity to someone. It's a pretty common trope in those movies. The superhero, they've been figuring out their powers, they've been wrestling. If they should accept the responsibility of using their powers or their abilities for good, for helping others. And when they finally do, when they finally come to that moment, when they've finally taken on that superhero role, then they have someone who typically finds out that they are a superhero. In the classic Superman movies with Christopher Reeve, in that second movie, Superman 2, Lois Lane, she ends up finding out that Clark Kent really is Superman. In the Batman movie from the late 80s, Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson star in that, and the character of Vicki Vale, she has Alfred, Bruce Wayne's butler, who spills the beans by bringing Vicki down into the Batcave when Bruce is working there. And in that first Iron Man movie with Robert Downey Jr., the main character of Tony Stark, he reveals his identity to the entire world, not to just one person. The entire world, when he states at a press conference, "The truth is, I am Iron Man." And then as soon as that hero's true identity is known, then there are one of maybe a few basic reactions that play out from the person or the persons that now have discovered who that hero really is. It might be a reaction of complete shock on finding out this secret. Or it might be that moment of watching the person take a few seconds to put all those pieces together, and then that dawning realization that it was always plainly there, always right in front of them. Or the reaction might be the person yelling, "I knew it. I knew it had to be you." And then that person who finds out, it might be that they had been disappointed by the actions of their friend in the past. You know, their friend, that un-yet-known superhero. They were always running late, or they never seemed to have time to be there with them, or they kept letting them down in a variety of ways. But now, once they know that their friend has been moonlighting as that superhero, saving lives, fighting the bad guys, all of that superhero stuff, once that's revealed, then they give that superhero friend a pass. They now understand why their friend seemed to be, you know, kind of a flake or didn't care about their friendship or whatever it was. But, you know, one story that I came across related to a superhero, but not actually in a movie itself, this story made me smile because of the true identity of someone else coming to light. And this story that I came across, this person shares that they went to visit their dentist, and it was on a Monday morning a number of years back, And when they were called in and they sat down in the exam chair, the dentist greeted them and they were making small talk, the normal sort of banter for an office visit to the dentist. And at one point, the dentist asked the person about their weekend. And the person responded with a simple, "Yeah, it was a good weekend. I watched that Captain America movie last night. I really liked it." And then the dentist said, "Oh, my son is in that movie." And at first, the patient, they thought that the dentist was joking. Until they thought for a moment, they put all of the pieces together. Now, the dentist, his name was Dr. Robert Evans. And when this person, the patient, got home after their checkup, they looked it up. And sure enough, their dentist is father to Chris Evans, the actor who plays Captain America in all those Marvel movies. And I'm sure that that made them look at their dentist in a new light. You know, all of a sudden, this man was more than just a person who wears gloves, uses the little tiny mirrors, the little picks, stares into people's mouths. Now he became a man with a family, a man who has a son that so many people around the globe recognize. And it's no longer just Dr. Evans that's doing the dental work for that patient now. You know, that patient is getting their exam or a crown or a filling or all that work. It's all being done by Captain America's dad. When we get to see someone in a new light, when a part of them is shown to us that we never realized before, when we get a fuller glimpse of their complete identity, it helps us know them a little better, right? And we might be surprised that someone who might have seemed a little simpler to us in the past, or maybe there was, they were a little dull, or there wasn't anything all that exciting. Now, with this new facet of their personality or their identity revealed to us, they become a more complex and a more interesting person. Now, three of the apostles, they had that kind of experience, but in a very huge way, a significant way. Today, we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration. And this is an event where Peter and James and John, they go up on a mountain with Jesus and they see him in a new light. And when I say new light, it's literal, right? If you're familiar with the story, Jesus is shining, radiating. He's in the complete fullness of his glory as the second person of the Trinity. And Moses and Elijah, they appear, they're talking with him. And after that experience, I can't believe that Peter, James, or John would ever be able to look at Jesus the same way ever again. I mean, we know other events will take place later in the life of Christ and the apostles. And of course, it changes them and it changes the world. But today on The Inner Life, we want to look at this monumental moment of the Transfiguration. Want to look at this moment in the life of Jesus, and especially what it means for us here, nearly 2,000 years later. Helping us to look at this is one of our regular spiritual directors, Father Tom Wilson. He's a priest in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. He's the pastor of All Saints Catholic Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. Father Wilson, so nice to have you back here on the program today. So do you ever make it out to watch any of the superhero movies yourself?
You know, Josh, I am not a movie person. I have to tell you, the leisure time that I have is fairly limited, and I'd rather watch a ball game than a movie. So I just do not see many movies. Occasionally I see a highly recommended one on while I'm on vacation or something, and now you've got me interested. Maybe I should see some of the newer superhero movies. So I think I saw the Spider-Man 1 or 2 about a decade ago or something, and I think that was probably the last superhero movie I have seen.
Yeah, no, those are good ones, and you know, I'll just recommend, do your research of what are the good ones, you know, whether it's on like a Rotten Tomatoes website or something like that, because there's plenty of lousy ones that you shouldn't waste your time with.
Thank you for the heads up.
But yeah, if you're watching a ball game, being out of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, are you rooting for the Twins or for the Vikings? Who's your team that you go for out there?
I'm more of a college sports person and the Gophers, but I'm a fair weather professional sports fan as well. So if the Twins are doing well, I'm on the bandwagon. If they're not, I'm I'm hoping for the best.
You have your afternoons and evenings back to yourself.
That is true. That is definitely true, yes.
Very good. Well, Father Wilson, you know, first of all, it would probably be good just to, you know, I talked a tiny bit about what the moment there of the Transfiguration is, but maybe you can walk us through the basic of events of what we see in the Transfiguration of Jesus. We have three different accounts in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all of them giving some different insights into this event. So can you help us kind of maybe, you know, piece together what is happening here?
Yeah, the general thrust of the image that's shared with us in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Josh, is that Peter, James, and John are invited to the top of Mount Tabor, and they are given a vision of Jesus in his glory, in his heavenly glory. And, you know, as faithful Jewish men, Peter, James, and John are given that confirmation by the presence of Moses and Elijah that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament, from the Old Testament, and that Jesus is the manifest Messiah that is making that promise of the Old Testament be fulfilled. And so it is an opportunity for them personally to experience the glory of the presence of Jesus, and irrefutably, I suppose, for them in their experience of Jesus to make it clear to them that Jesus, in fact, is the divine Messiah. The other thing about, again, all three of our accounts of the Transfiguration is that all three of the accounts reveal the glory of Jesus in the Transfiguration in the shadow of Jesus revealing to the 12 and others of the cost of discipleship and what Jesus himself will go through. Jesus makes it clear to them that he is going to have to suffer at the hands of evil men. He will suffer, die, and rise again. And in order to be his disciple, we have to pick up our crosses and carry it. And I think that it is certainly not an accident that the glory of Jesus is revealed in the wake and the shadow of the reality of what this life is going to be like for Jesus and his suffering and the reality of the cross. And so Jesus in his charity, Jesus in his love, Jesus in his desire for us to not get too bogged down, too afraid, or too worried about the burdens of this life and the reality of the cross in this life, gives Peter, James, and John, and gives us that vision of his heavenly glory and who he is and what is to come for us.
Well, and as you're talking about that, you know, kind of in the shadow of knowing of what's to come, I find it interesting. You know, there are these different details that each gospel writer gives. So in Luke's account, it says that Jesus is there talking after Moses and Elijah show up. And the translation I'm reading, which is the one on the USCCB's website, the Conference of the U.S. Bishops, and the New American Bible says that they spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. So they're already looking ahead toward the crucifixion there. Mm-hmm. But then I'm also just taken by the fact that in Matthew's gospel, and Matthew's the only one who records this, after everything's done, the disciples, they're afraid, they fall prostrate, and they're on the ground. But after the cloud descends, they hear the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus comes over them, touches them on the shoulder or on the back, says, "Rise, do not be afraid." When the disciples open up their eyes, they see no one but Jesus. But we kind of get this compassionate moment there in Matthew's gospel you know, even though Jesus has just been talking about his own suffering, his own death, that he's going to face, that Jesus is still there for these three men that he's brought up there and shared this very, very, you know, special moment, giving them this insight into his divinity. It just really stuck with me.
Yeah, and you know, if we think about our own experiences with the Lord, Josh, I think that particularly people who have experienced a profound conversion or a profound recognition of God in their life, I think that fear is a fairly common response to people who are enveloped in the glory and goodness of God as their own, the reality of their own life is exposed to them, and Jesus reaching out in compassion is a reminder to us of in the brightness of his light, as everything gets exposed, all the, you know, all the good stuff, but all the crud that can build up on a soul, Jesus is there to have mercy. And I think at times we maybe sugarcoat the experience with the Lord a little bit in terms of, this is just all beautiful and nice and comfortable. When sometimes that first encounter with the Lord can be a little bit scary, in that everything that I have done has been revealed, but he reveals it for his glory and for the experience of mercy, not to discourage us, but a response of fear can be quite normal in that. And the reality is that in Peter, James, and John's understanding, the direct encounter with the glory of God really does mean death. And so I suspect they might have had some sense that they had come to the physical end of their life by seeing the glory of God like this. And wow. And Jesus taps him on the shoulder and says, "Nope, this is
it's
this
okay,
is,
not yet,
this
guys.
Is every not yet. This is fine. This is what's going to be someday for you. Now we need to go back and live this life and proclaim the gospel." And he does that out of his charity and kindness and generosity.
Well, and I'd like to continue that theme of, you know, as you're talking about that being afraid in that moment there. Let's continue that in just a moment. First of all, I want to open up the phone lines for our listeners. Our studio line, 888-914-9149. Our spiritual director here on The Inner Life today, Father Tom Wilson, a priest in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And we're talking about today the Feast of the Transfiguration. And maybe like Peter and James and John up on that mountain, seeing Jesus revealed fully, the divinity of his true nature there as the second person of the Trinity being made manifest to them. When have you had that moment where you came to a fuller realization of who Jesus is? And maybe it was an encounter in the Mass. Maybe it was where you had that better understanding of what you're looking at, the amazing miracle that's happening in front of you as you're watching the bread and wine, these simple elements that become the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of Jesus. How has Jesus made himself real to you in your life, in the experiences that you have, in those encounters with him, in the Eucharist or in prayer? Our studio line again, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And the conversation continues in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us here on The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond, our spiritual director today, Father Tom Wilson, a priest in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And today talking about the Feast of the Transfiguration and taking your phone calls at 888-914-9149. When have you had that moment? Just like Peter, just like James and John up on the mountain there, seeing Jesus in his glory. When have you come to that better, fuller understanding, that better realization of who Jesus is? How has Jesus made himself real to you in your life, in the experiences that you've had? Maybe different conversations. Maybe there was a mentor, somebody as a spiritual director who helped you to really see and understand who Jesus was. Our studio line again, 888-914-9149. Email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. And Father Wilson, before the break, you were talking about how that encounter with Jesus, a lot of times for us, especially initially, there might be that fear, that trepidation that goes on there. But I was also thinking about how yesterday at Mass, we had the gospel reading out of Matthew's gospel where Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God. And then we have where there's this exchange, Peter, you are rock, upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus gives Peter the keys to the kingdom and gives him that authority to bind and loose. And so there's this really amazing kind of stewardship responsibility that we have that's given to Peter at this moment. But Peter, he said what none of the other apostles had stepped up to say at that moment. And he said it, and he obviously believed it. But then, within about a week, when this moment of the Transfiguration happens, he wasn't ready to be confronted with the reality of Jesus in his glory. And so it got me thinking, is this something that we would all struggle with if we're really faced? Even if we go to Mass, we say we have faith, we believe, but if we were really faced with Jesus in that radiant, resplendent glory, at least for me, I think I would be a trembling mess. You know, I don't think I have quite that realization of who Jesus is. I want to believe I do, but I don't know if I really do, as it would be being there face to face in front of him. You know what I mean, Father?
I do, Josh, and I think that probably most of us, if we are honest with ourselves, would come to the same conclusion as you, that it's a moment that we look forward to in the grandeur of God and the promises fulfilled. But it's also a moment that we probably recognize in our own sinfulness and willfulness and flaws in our life that there would still be a bit of trepidation as we walked into His holy presence. And I think it's okay to have a little bit of feeling like that, because what it reminds us of interiorly is that we still need to grow. We still need to let Jesus work with us. We still need to experience His mercy. I do think that one of the challenges that we have in modern Christianity, particularly lived out in the United States and other Western nations, is I don't want to sound overly critical, but there's a thread of thought that goes out there that says, once I've met Jesus, it's like the journey is over. My salvation is sealed, and so
I'm a convert to the faith, and that was very much a part of my evangelical understanding. And it's funny because you say that, and there's the term that'll get thrown around kind of in Protestant circles, which is once saved, always saved. And it's so funny to me because people that I've talked to, they say, well, how could you be a Catholic because you don't have the assurance of your salvation? But me going to confession and being able to have my sins absolved and being able to start fresh, I actually feel like I have a better grasp on where I am in relation to Christ, in relation to God, and the fact that I have the sacraments that give me that hope of being in heaven eventually. So, I know exactly what you're talking about, but yeah, there is that out there. And I think it can be a very dangerous thing because it takes us out of, I'm presuming this is where you're going, it takes us out of an ongoing journey, and it just becomes a one-time event, and all right, well, that's done, and I can just kind of live my life however I feel.
Yeah, that's precisely right, and I certainly don't want to critique our brothers and sisters in Christ who are faithful Christians and walking with the Lord, but there certainly is a risk that, you know, once I've had that encounter, it's over and done with. And I think that, you know, our understanding of our life as a pilgrimage with the Lord and sort of a constant invitation and opportunity for growth and going deeper with Jesus. You know, in some ways, Transfiguration is a great image because it gives us an idea what it's like, what it's going to be like in the end. But we're still walking. We're still on that journey, and we're going to still experience those daily crosses, and we're still going to experience temptations and all those things before we get exposed to that glory. And I think that's a good thing because it keeps us on the road. Frankly, it keeps us humble, and it really does prepare us. It prepares us to see Jesus in His glory. I also think that it might, Josh, prepare us to see Jesus in the simplicity of our daily life, and as you mentioned, in the sacraments. You know, sacraments are basically pretty simple. They're not complicated, but we get that taste of the presence and mercy and the fulfilled promise that Jesus brings to us.
I love the fact that you keep on bringing up, you know, the mercy of God, that's part of this, experiencing the mercy of God, because I think it's also very easy for us in these encounters with Christ, whether it is through the sacraments, whether it's in prayer, whatever it might be, that we can really get inwardly focused on ourselves. But you know, as we've been talking about this, one of the things that you said that stood out to me, when Christ reveals Himself to us, you know, however that is, when we have kind of our own personal transfiguration moment where we see Jesus in His glory, it's for His and the Father's glory and to experience His mercy. You know, that the fact that it all goes back to God, and that we shouldn't get too focused on, well, what's in it for me? You know, that kind of an attitude. I think that's also really important, something that I can take away from the Transfiguration.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Josh. I think that you know, all of our little experiences prepare us for that Transfiguration, and I think just to add on to the point you're making is that you know, particularly in Matthew's gospel, what's the thing that Jesus said right before the Transfiguration? He says, "Get behind me, Satan." That's what He told Peter. He says,
right,
"Get behind me, Satan." And then, you know, in that critique for denying the cross, and then He takes him up to this, you know, this mountaintop experience of His glory. It's a you know, Jesus needed to rebuke Peter because he wasn't accepting the fullness of who Jesus and His experience would be, but then He immediately gives him that vision of glory in his kindness, compassion, and mercy to him.
Our spiritual director today here on The Inner Life, Father Tom Wilson, a priest in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, the pastor of All Saints Catholic Church in Lakeville, Minnesota, talking today about the Transfiguration of Christ. It is the Feast of the Transfiguration, and we're taking your phone calls at 888-914-9149. When have you had that kind of a Transfiguration moment where you came to a better understanding and realization of who Jesus is. 888-914-9149. And our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, we've got Vielka, who is listening in Austin, Texas. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Welcome to The Inner Life.
You are. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for your program.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air with Father Tom Wilson.
Hi, Father. I definitely had that transfiguration moment. It's wonderful that you can actually call it that. I wouldn't know what else to call it, but hearing both of you talk about it, it definitely feels like that. So I had this moment where my husband and I, we were having problems actually bearing children. I had about 3 miscarriages, and we were very concerned that perhaps we just were not called to have children. Now, I'm a cradle Catholic, but I have fallen away from the Lord, myself, and the Lord has brought me back. And yet I find him so merciful in this case where I felt like he actually spoke to me, and I'll explain this quickly. So my husband and I were having a disagreement. We were bringing furniture in from a place that we had sold into our new house. And I had kept the bedrooms of our new house bare in the hope and in faith that we would have children one day, and they would be able to use those rooms. And I'd mentioned this to my husband, but my husband was being very logical and practical. And he said to me, well, we don't have children yet, do we? So let's go ahead and put the old furniture into those rooms. And if we're to have children, then we take them out. And it was like a knife in my heart. I mean, I couldn't believe that my husband was saying something like that to me. And I tried several times saying, well, you know what those rooms mean to me. I want to keep them empty just in the event that we have a child. You know what I mean? He's like, that doesn't make any sense. It wasn't making sense to him. He was just being very practical. And I was hurt. And his responses to me were just too much to kind of bear. But anyway, we're getting ready to go to bed. And I said, I don't want us to go to bed angry with one another. So let's just, try to get past this, and we'll wake up hopefully in the morning and everything's fine. And he said, sure. I said, you could go ahead and put your furniture up there if that's what you really want to do. I gave him another chance, and he's like, that's what I want to do. Okay, fine. And the next morning I woke up, and I was still so hurt, so angry. And I looked over at my husband, and I felt this just total anger towards him, something I had never felt before, because he's actually a very kind-hearted, loving man. And I was afraid for my marriage at that moment. And I apparently started praying. I didn't even realize that I reached out to God with all the pain that I had at that moment. And I said, Lord, what do we do? What should we do in this case? I don't know. I can't even look at him. I'm so upset. I'm so afraid. You know what this means to me. And I'm saying all this in my mind. When suddenly I felt the Lord basically put these thoughts into my mind. It wasn't this audible hearing. It was like his words came into my head, and he said to me, I froze at that moment. He said to me, this is what I experienced, do as Jonathan says. That's my husband's name. And I was floored that he even knew his name. Do as Jonathan says. Trust in me. I have you. And at that moment, I was left. It was like it was a vacuum. All the anger and resentment just got sucked out. And I was left with this overwhelming peace. And we conceived a few months later, and we had my son at the age of 43. And, I bore him. And he's 5 years old.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is absolutely beautiful. That you would share your pain in the fertility situation that you were dealing with, but then your you know, your honesty with the Lord in the pain that you were suffering becomes that catalyst or that conduit for you to experience Jesus' presence. And, you know, sometimes it takes that that sort of grinding reality of relationships and pushing back to smooth things out and create that vehicle that the Lord can work in, and you provided that for him, and he acted, and most importantly you responded. You know, I think I can probably give you a few situations where the Lord spoke to me and I didn't respond so quickly. And I think a lot of us might have that as well. But your response to that grace, that theophany, if you will, the presence of the Lord, then made that vehicle for the grace of the gift of a child. So praise God. Thank you so much for sharing that and allowing all of us to hear it.
Yeah, Vialka, really appreciate you calling into the program today. And again, our studio line is 888-914-9149. We're talking about the Feast of the Transfiguration that we're celebrating today and how we experience, how we encounter Christ in our own lives, especially when we have that moment where he makes himself very real to us. When have you had that moment where you've come to a better realization, a fuller understanding of who Jesus is? And maybe it was an encounter in the Mass, maybe it was in prayer, maybe it was there before the Eucharist. How has Jesus made himself real to you in your life? Our studio line, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'll continue our conversation with Father Tom Wilson and take more of your phone calls right after this here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
Welcome back to The Inner Life. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond, along with our spiritual director, Father Tom Wilson. He's a priest in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, and all glory be to Christ, because today is the Feast of the Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John were able to have that brief moment where they saw Jesus in all his glory, transfigured before them. And we're talking about how we can apply that into our own lives, those moments that we have where we come to a better, a fuller realization of who Jesus is. How has that happened in your life? Our studio line, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father Wilson, before we go back to the phones, one thing that really kind of stood out to me in the different gospel accounts, two of them, in Mark's and in Luke's gospel accounts, Peter, he offers to build these tents for Jesus and Moses and Elijah when he sees Jesus transfigured and Moses and Elijah both are there talking with Jesus. And both Mark and Luke, the writers, they put in a comment about Peter not really knowing what to say or understanding what he was saying when he made this comment about, oh, it's great that we're here. Let's stay here. Let's put these three tents up. Why do you think it is that Peter doesn't know what he's saying? But then also it makes me think Jesus doesn't want us to just stay in that mountaintop experience, you know, that really beautiful moment there. We can't just stay kind of stagnant. We have to go back down into the real world. That's kind of what I get out of it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Josh. The propensity I think that we often have is to memorialize that experience, and I think that a lot of us have probably had deep encounters with the Lord and community at retreats and things like that. I know that when I was young and doing some of those things, and even now working with young people and the experiences, the powerful experiences they can have with the Lord, you know, puts in them that great zeal and great desire and that wonderful experience of having been embraced deeply by the love of God. And we want that to continue perpetually in the exact same way that that we've experienced then. But you're exactly right. If we tried to do that, our faith would stagnate. It would stagnate. It would not grow. It would not lead us into that place at the bottom of the mountain where we got to roll our sleeves up and go to work and spread that experience to others and to recognize that this is a glorious moment. This is a glorious moment of appreciating the presence of God. But it's also a moment that that we remember and we hold on to, but we can't stay in. We cannot stay in. We're called out of that moment, so that we can live our life of discipleship, commitment, and spreading the gospel.
Father, let's go back to the phones. We've got Jack, who's calling in from Beaverton, Oregon. Hi, Jack. Welcome to The Inner Life today.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, and God bless
you. Hey, Jack, you're a little quiet. Are you on a speakerphone or maybe on a Bluetooth?
No, I'll speak more directly.
Okay,
perfect. Phone.
Thank you. That's much better. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, and may God bless you. And I just wanted to share my transfiguration moment with you and the other listeners, because it was such a beautiful experience for me that maybe some others might get some blessing out of it. I was at the Mount Angel Abbey in Oregon, and was taken into the reliquary and had the pleasure of holding a relic of the Holy Cross. And the moment that I placed it in my hands, I felt this energy. And this energy was just quite real and quite apparent. And the energy that I felt was so obvious that it was Christ's love and Christ's forgiveness competing against each other. And that competition of the love and the forgiveness against each other is what created the energy. And I was so transformed by it that for hours afterwards, all I could say was, I love you. And so that's my transfiguration moment.
What a wonderful experience of the Lord, experiencing Him in His love and His forgiveness and in a very concrete way through the relic of the Holy Cross. And you know, it's a good example, I think, to all of us that there are, you know, we have in our long custom in our faith the idea of sacramentals, the idea of pilgrimage sites, the idea of places and things that have been made holy by Jesus' connection to it, and I suspect a lot of us will have those particular things in our life, whether it's a special gift, cross or rosary or medal or something like that, that given to us by a special person who's been significant in our own development in faith, or like you, that direct connection with Jesus in His passion on the cross through the relic, or going to a beautiful and holy site. All of these things can be conduits to experiencing that deep presence of God in ways that we might not normally experience in our daily life. So thank you so much for giving us that example of the relic and the Holy Cross, and how it allowed you to respond in the way that God wants us to respond. I love you. That's the response that the Lord wants to receive from all of us.
Jack, I'm also so happy to hear you talk about going out to Mount Angel Abbey. I used to live out there in that area. And when I was learning about the Catholic Church, coming into the church over a span of about 3 years, I would be out there at that abbey, that Benedictine Abbey, every 2-3 weeks or so. They have a beautiful library there, and I learned so much about the Catholic Church, just borrowing books, reading through so much there. And of course, our family was much smaller at the time, but we would go out there and walk around the grounds, we'd pray. So just a beautiful, beautiful location there, Jack. Thanks for calling in. Father, let's go to Scott, who's listening in Phoenix. Hi, Scott. You're on the air with Father Tom Wilson.
Hi, let me take you up as speaker. Thank you for accepting my call today. You know, we look for signs. We look for moments in our life that we can build on. I remember when I got married, my father-in-law needed help, and my wife said, you know, we need to move to get my father back into the church. And we did. It was a sacrifice. We moved out in the desert. It was brutal. It was tough. But at the same time, you know, when I ran into other trials after we had lived out there for a while, we lived there only maybe six months. But it was tough. But when I had trials come into my life, I just, that's nothing. I was nothing compared to what we went through, you know, out in the desert. Never experienced that, but I guess maybe the point why I bring that up is I want those experiences. I want those building experiences in my life, and he wants us to put these moments together so that we can draw nearer to him and draw closer to him and have that everlasting faith in his son. And so I say, if we took a different look, a different perspective on how holy his emblems are every Sunday, that's a baptism to me, brethren. I am baptized every Sunday because I prepare for that the night before, and I fast, and I pray. And so going into that meeting with my brothers and sisters, when we partake of those holy emblems, I'm transfigured, and I am sinless. I walk without sin in my life.
Scott, thanks so much for the call. And you know, Father, as Scott's calling and talking about preparing the night before, you know, going to Mass, being able to have those moments where he's encountering Christ. I mean, that right there, preparing ourselves for that encounter. Sometimes it might happen where we don't have an opportunity to prepare, but going before the Lord in the Eucharist, where we see those elements of bread and wine that are miraculously transformed into the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, being able to have that opportunity to prepare, that's really key. I'm so glad Scott brought that up.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. It's an excellent point in terms of our encounter with the Lord too. That we look for the extraordinary. We look for Jesus in the extraordinary, and you know the world we live in is it's got to be super hyped and it's got to be super exciting, and if it's not, it doesn't meet my expectations, and all the like in those kinds of environments. But the truth is that our most intimate, deep, and objective encounter with the Lord comes, just as Scott says, it comes with our encounter with Him in the Eucharist, and that bread and wine are transubstantiated. Okay, they become Jesus. And as that transubstantiated Jesus under the form of bread and wine comes into us, we are transformed as well. And we need to appreciate that in the
in the routine of Mass, that the normal encounter that Jesus has with his people is through the grace of the Mass and the sacrament of the Eucharist, and it might not be feel like we're going face-to-face with Jesus on Mount Tabor like Peter, James, and John did, but it is every bit as much of the encounter with the divine presence of Jesus as they had there.
Right.
In that intimacy and that connection. And as Scott said, the better we prepare for that encounter, the deeper our experience will be in terms of recognizing that. And it's kind of the life we're living right now, Josh. People not appreciating the gift of the Eucharist. It's a huge pastoral challenge for us in the church who understand the presence of Jesus and it's how profound it is in the Eucharist, and welcoming people back and encouraging renewed devotion and appreciating that transforming connection that we get through Jesus.
Right. Well, and you know, that's a great note to end on, just encouraging listeners out there. Encounter Christ in a huge, profound way when you go to Mass this weekend. Don't shrug that off. Father, we are down to just about 10, 15 seconds remaining here in the hour. Could I ask you to offer all of our listeners a final blessing?
Father Almighty, we are grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who is transfigured before the apostles and shows his glory every time we encounter him at Mass and the Eucharist. To pour down your blessings upon our listeners and their families. Bring healing to all that need it. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Tom Wilson has been our spiritual director today. Of course, want to thank you for listening, and want to say a big thank you to Nick Santovich and Lucas Holt for their help in producing the program. Stay tuned. Mass is next. I hope you have a blessed weekend. We'll talk with you on Monday.